The next case to be heard is 2014-552, Olentangy Local Schools Board of Education versus Delaware County Board of Revision. Here again, the appellant is the property owner. Mr. Ray.
Your Honor, may it please the court. My name is Nicholas Ray, and I represent the appellant property owner, the Kenny Company, LLC. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. The case before the court presents a straightforward burden of proof question. The BOE appealed the BOR reduction supported by competent appraisal evidence to the BTA. The BTA, before having this court's decision and direction in the East Bank condo case, as well as the North Point distribution case, failed as a matter of law to apply the correct burden. The BTA also failed to properly evaluate the evidence before it and failed as a matter of fact to reach the appropriate conclusion. The property in this case is a condominium office complex consisting of two buildings and the remaining 14 units, each located on separate parcels. The units were constructed in 06, and as of the tax lien date, all of the remaining units in this case were unfinished shell space. That included drywall on the exterior walls and ceilings and concrete, bare concrete floors. Plumbing, electric, HVAC were brought to the unit but had not been distributed within the unit. The square footage of the units varies slightly from 1,550 square feet to 1,597 square feet. And other than that small difference, every unit in this case is identical. Initially, two units sold, one in 06 and one in 07, and after the case was filed, another unit sold in 2010. That particular unit involved a unit and a half. And this is the distinction here, I think, in this case. But again, by the time of the 13 hearing at the BTA, no other units had sold. So 3.5 units in a roughly 6-year period sold at this property. It was actively marketed for sale, but again, this is the extremely important distinction between a residential case and this one. And page 95 of the supplement, the marketing materials are provided. The property was marketed for sale or lease in configurations from 1,550 square feet up to 12,665 square feet. Page 96, the other side of the marketing material, shows how one unit or multiple units could be configured for a buyer or a tenant for the property. It's different than a residential case. These are being actively marketed as multiple units. At the Board of Revision, the property owner presented the testimony of Mr. Porter, an MAI and state certified general appraiser, and Mr. Roland Giller, a representative of the property owner. Mr. Porter considered both a sales comparison approach to value and an income approach to value for the property. He opined to a value of $1,430,000 and also opined to a value for each individual unit. Mr. Porter also noted all three sales that were previously mentioned but did not rely upon those sales in his appraisal report. As a result, the evidence in the record about those sales is limited. After also considering advice from Mr. Hsu, the deputy auditor in Delaware County, which was developed both before the hearing in June and after the hearing. The hearing was earlier in October. Mr. Hsu again evaluated the evidence in October of 2010. The Board of Revision rejected the auditor's value and found for the value opined to by Mr. Porter. It's important to note, Mr. Porter, Mr. Hsu, and the Board of Revision all agree that the auditor's original value in this case is incorrect. The appellee wants you to believe that Mr. Porter's appraisal report is in some way a bulk valuation appraisal, similar to what's been discussed about East Bank Condo. Nothing could be further from the truth in this case. As noted on page 95 and 96 of the supplement, The property was actively marketed for sale and lease in sizes ranging from roughly 1,500 to almost 3,000 square feet. The BTA improperly based its rejection of the appraisal on the basis that the property was only marketed for sale as individual units. That is clearly not the case. These are not residential units. The marketing involved anywhere from one unit to eight units. You could rent or buy an entire building. That is undisputed. There's no other evidence in the record to the contrary, and the BTA just got it wrong.
So you're saying there's a factual finding that's unsupported?
That's correct. I think the BTA erred in law and the burden. They also erred in fact on the idea that these were marketed as individual units. You could buy one. You could buy eight. All of those were available and marketed at the same time. The appraisal report prepared by Mr. Porter looked at the property, considered a sales comparison approach where only one or two units sold in his sales comparison approach. The 2010 sale that exists here is more than one unit. It's a unit plus. It wasn't one unit being sold. It's consistent. It was, you know, a unit plus. Mr. Porter's picking up those additional units. The units are identical. They're in unfinished condition on tax lien date. And again, the marketing was for one or multiple. Mr. Porter testified that, in his opinion, the market for the property was for larger units. And Mr. Hsu, in his report on page 108 of the supplement, also notes the average small size of the units, leading to the marketing of multiple units. Not something that's uncommon in a commercial context. The property, the value was consistent with its highest and best use. And compared with an absorption method where Mr. Porter estimated on the record 5 to 6 years before these properties might be absorbed and sold, and Mr. Giller commented it would be considerably longer. It's clear it was considerably longer because there were no other sales through 2013. Mr. Porter also performed an income approach. His income approach considered units as small as 1,238 square feet up through larger units that were comparable to the marketing of the subject property. He did not prepare an individual income statement for every single unit. Reason being, the rents and the expenses were exactly the same. The units were identical. BOE counsel wants to make an issue of the idea that, well, this was just a square foot allocation, but at the time, the units were in identical condition of similar size. We have no question about what finish was appropriate, whether one configuration was better than the other. We have similar units. A square foot allocation is reasonable in this case. The property owner presented sufficient, competent, and probative evidence of value of the subject property. The appraiser, the auditor's office, the BOR all agree that the auditor's original value is incorrect, and the BOR correctly adopted the evidence before it. On appeal to the BTA, the Board of Education appealed. Again, what do we know from that? We had a very limited hearing, the next to no hearing at the BTA. We know that the BOR, the auditor's office, and Mr. Porter all agreed the auditor's original value is incorrect. We know the BOR had rejected the auditor's original value and accepted the appraisal evidence. Again, an appraisal that noted those sales but didn't utilize them. The BOR noted at the conclusion of hearing on page 22 of the hearing record and supplement that it would be consulting with its appraiser, Mr. Hsu. The BOE failed to object to this analysis or to request to examine Mr. Hsu or to review his report before the board considered it. Two reports from Mr. Hsu were included in the transcript before the Board of Tax Appeals. Again, the one done in June and another one in October. At no time did the BOE object to this information or seek pretrial discovery from the county or subpoena Mr. Hsu to testify. Let us remember, the school board's the appellant before the Board of Tax Appeals in this case. The fact that the sales had occurred were all known and discussed at the BOR. However, the BOE didn't subpoena a witness concerning these sales, attempt to provide any evidence about these sales. Over objection from the property owner, the BOE provided uncertified copies of deeds and conveyance fee statements. The BOE developed no independent opinion of value and instead chose to rely on its own analysis of the previously rejected sales. While certainly their right to pick and choose how they decide to try their case, obviously, as this court has said, such approach is not without risk. As noted, the BTA erred as a matter of law in applying the incorrect burden in this case, and also as a matter of fact in understanding what it based its decision on, and it turned solely in the BTA decision on the idea that these are units marketed for individual sale, and the facts clearly demonstrate they are not. In this case, the BTA issued its decision before the reconsideration in East Bank Condo was issued and before the North Point decision. Frankly, there's no doubt in my mind, Your Honor, that had the Board of Tax Appeals had the benefit of those decisions and had the benefit of an appraisal prepared for tax lien date, testified to by a qualified expert and done for tax valuation purposes, that it would have accepted the valuation in this case. The BOE now is left to argue that the appraisal and evidence, appraisal of Mr. Porter and the reports developed by Mr. Hsu are not sufficient because it did not develop its own independent determination of value. Although we talk a lot about these sales, what do we know about them? The little thing we know is there were three sales in 6 years. Mr. Hsu, in his June report on page 102 of the record, notes that the 06 and 07 sales were for space that was finished. Mr. Hsu also acknowledges in his report that you have to take into consideration marketing costs, holding costs, risk, and absorption period cost. Nothing which was done in this case by the Board of Tax Appeals. Also on the 2010, or the 6 and 7 sales, the Board of Education points out and wants you to read page 44 of the supplement, and Mr. Porter describes the sales as being they were of shell space. However, he wants you to stop reading there, because if you read the whole paragraph, Mr. Porter makes a distinction. Those were of shell space, the remaining property he calls unfinished shell space. There's a distinction there. Can I tell you, Your Honor, exactly what Mr. Porter meant by that? No, but I'm not the one advocating for the use of those sales. Mr. Hsu noted that these were finished spaces in his June report. He also did additional research in his October report, and he went and notes that he pulled building permits. He reviewed the building permits for those sales. He would know what the sale was. He would know who pulled the building permits. And he says in the first paragraph that they were sold finished. So we have two sales before the tax lien date, before the testimony regarding the change in the market, in a different condition than the subject property. We have a 2010 sale for a unit plus, which supports, again, what Mr. Porter's doing, but it's one sale in a six-year period. I'm fairly certain that if I showed up at the Board of Revision or I showed up anywhere, frankly, I think I've been before this court with similar evidence recently, of a couple unsupported sales, and it was my opinion, counsel's opinion of value, frankly, what Mr. Gillis's office has done in this case, that Mr. Gillis would jump up and down and say that's not sufficient to establish a change in value. That's what we have here. The only reliable, competent, probative evidence of value in the record is that developed by Mr. Porter and accepted by the Board of Revision. The auditor's original value was clearly shown to be incorrect. The BTA's reversion to this value based upon unsupported sales, cannot stand as either a matter of law or fact. The appraisal develops a value for the individual units and is consistent with the ongoing marketing of the property. The BOE, as appellant before the BTA, had a burden. The court was clear in East Bank Condo. The motion for reconsideration, the court considered it twice. The first decision and the second decision, that burden exists. North Point made it clear that that burden exists. And the BOE has failed to meet that burden. The appropriate value is $1,430,000. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Mr. Gillis.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Mark Gillis on behalf of the Board of Education of the Olentangy Local Schools. For a bit of deja vu, the burden of proof at the BTA for the Board of Education was to demonstrate reversible legal error. and 5311.11 is clear and unambiguous. Condominiums are deemed to be separate parcels for all purposes of taxation and assessment. This applies to whether or not the condos are residential or commercial. There is no distinction between rented condos and owner-occupied condos. The result that the appellant seeks creates a valuation disparity. You had a sale of shell space, vanilla box shell space, in 2010, and that owner is going to pay based upon its purchase price, which is far less than the appraisal in this matter. The Board of Tax Appeals went a lot further than it has in numerous other cases and stated, quote, "We find clear support for the auditor's valuation of the subject property." This was based upon the sales that were discussed by Mr. Porter in his report of the subject property. However, Mr. Porter stated, quote, "The individual sales of the units are not considered pertinent to the valuation of the subject as a multi-tenant office property." Well, of course they wouldn't. He's appraising it as something that it's not, and contrary to the statute. Just like East Bank said, it violates the legal mandate of 5311.11 when you value condominium properties as if they were one single parcel. Porter went on to explain why he didn't use these sales. The units are owned by the builder developer for sale or for lease. The units have unity of ownership and are contiguous and have unity of use. And so therefore, he valued them as a single parcel. According to Mr. Porter, if you own multiple units, you get a valuation discount because the owner of the individual condo that is sold pays based upon their sale price as a single condominium unit. 5311.11 applies regardless of whether a condominium is owner-occupied or rented. The question is whether or not the unit meets the legal definition of condominium. There's no question in this case. Therefore, the rental status doesn't change its characteristic as a condominium. Now, getting back to the issue of shell space or how these units were sold, there's conflicting testimony from all of appellant's witnesses and Mr. Hsu's hearsay reports. Mr. Porter, however, on page 44, above where Mr. Ray was quoting, states unit 7540-D transferred on January 23rd, 2007 for $137.88 per square foot, and unit 7540-C transferred August 26, 2006 for a recorded price of $215,000 or $138.58 a square foot as shell space. Their other witness for the property owner, Mr. Giller, was questioned with regard to these two sales and did not refute the fact that they were sold as unfinished shell space. With regard to the 2010 sale, he went far further, and he specifically stated that they purchased it unfinished and finished it on their own. Those owners not only are going to pay based upon their purchase price of the unfinished unit while it was unfinished, but then, you know, allegedly, they're going to then have an increase in value based upon the improvements made to the property. In this case, the appraisal values them as one collective unit, comes up with a lower value, to which, by the way, Mr. Hsu's second recommendation specifically states is unsupported and unwarranted. So the BOR did not follow his recommendation in his second recommendation, which was after he was able to do further research, despite the fact that he didn't read the transcript and incorporate the fact that he was incorrect with regard to the finished state of those units. The Board of Revision ignored their own appraiser's recommendation, despite and the fact that it's not properly in the record goes without saying. Bedford Rule, at the outset, seems to say that whenever a Board of Revision accepts any value that a property owner puts forth, that that now is a default value. However, if the burden as an appellant before the Board of Tax Appeals is to demonstrate reversible legal error, and it's demonstrated that the appraisal upon which the Board of Revision relied was illegal and improper, according to the court in East Bank, that means that the Board of Revision's decision is illegal, and the BTA cannot accept that value. Then the question simply becomes whether or not there's other evidence in the record under which the Board of Tax Appeals can conduct an independent determination of value. In this case, the Board of Tax Appeals says there was, and they found clear support for the auditor's original values. Lastly, there are additional marketing materials within the record, and they clearly indicate, even the ones that Mr. Ray referred to, that all of these units are offered for sale in their unfinished state. One of the marketing materials says the price per square foot is $130 to $150 per square foot in shell condition. Specifically, the options that are not included in the purchase price include drop ceilings, complete interior finish, plans, permits, HVAC, flooring, offices, conference room, break room, and so forth. The owner here always intended to sell these things individually or to sell them to individuals for either owner occupancy or rental. They have always been condominium units and therefore had to be valued under 5311.11. This appraisal failed to do so, so therefore, just like in East Bank, it was an unlawful method of valuation, and the BTA was correct in rejecting that appraisal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. Mr. Ray, you have reserved a minute, 30 seconds.
Thank you. Let's hit the high points then, Your Honor. Again, Mr. Gillis claims some amount of reversible error at the Board of Revision. There isn't. They were valued individually. Mr. Porter considered values consistent with the marketing of the property, consistent with their highest and best use. He testifies about researching other comparable properties to find out if individual units are selling at those properties, and they are not. He then finds comparables that are consistent. He does an income approach where he comes up and utilizes comparables that are smaller than the individual units at the subject property. Frankly, Mr. Porter's income approach is lower than his sales comparison approach. It would give us a lower value, which I'm sure the property owner would be happy to take. Mr. Gillis has now twice made the argument about uniformity. I find that rich, frankly, and not your partner. Mr. Gillis files thousands of cases every year looking to increase values of individual owners and assess them at rates higher than the assessments potentially of the competing properties that are there. So to suddenly say we're going to apply uniformity, I'll tell you, if the court wants to take a strict uniformity position and says that sales must be applied and considered in uniformity with other assessments, I think my particular client would say, let's go, let's do that. Let's talk to Mr. Gillis and say, all these increases aren't uniform. We have a uniformity provision. Let's apply it. He claims clear support at the BTA. There's an error of fact about the sales.
Your time has expired.
Thank you.
This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.